Now, I believe that was true 30 years ago. But I hesitate to agree with him today. I believe that the last 15 or 20 years have brought most of the blacks of America out of their Islamic nature. We don't have that innocence we had before. We are conscious sinners. Stubbornly persist in our ignorance. Whereas 30 years or so ago, most of us were not like that. No, most of us weren't like that. If we were in it, it was because we were ignorant and naive. And there are very few of us who were just conscious sinners, criminals. Very few.
That situation has changed. But we should understand the wisdom of God and the cycles of His mercy. And the cycles of His mercy. That no matter what come upon the world, no matter how dark it looks, no matter how dreadful and gloomy and dark the situation looks, just hang around. Be patient. Don't you lose your soul. The good days are coming. Now, here in the chapter titled The Believer, Al-Mu'min, God has revealed Allahu alladhi ja'ala lakum al-layla لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَالنَّهَارَ مُبْصِرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. الله أكبر. It's correct here, then. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. God is He who made night for you so that you may rest therein, and day for you that you may see thereby. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? See, we have to learn what the wise know who dominate us. That there is a dual form that the word addresses. Whereas the word is addressing the form that is obvious to the common mind, it is also addressing the form that is usually hidden from the common mind. And the word term metaphysical is not enough to explain what I am addressing now. But it is helpful to understand that there is the physical and the metaphysical. Are they obvious to the eye? And that is not obvious to the eye. That is closer to the real form of man. For after all, the real form of man is not in the animal, for our flesh is no more than flesh of the animal. It's in our soul, the human soul. The human soul and its properties. Intelligence is a property of the human soul. Virtues are properties of the human soul. So when we see the human and those that can't get to that kind of vision of the human being, they only can see the human being in the animal form. He's physical, he needs food, he needs
clothing, he needs shelter, he needs sex, he must eat or he'll starve, he must drink or he thirst, he must rest because he's tired. So we just think of human being like that, right? But God is addressing both with his word. He's addressing that necessary vessel for your expression, for your life and your expression. But he's also addressing that which is more characteristic of your form as a created being. And that is your human soul with all of its fine properties. So we think of saving the life of the animal. And that's how come we can't get the masses to come here and hear us this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Because they are concerned for the animal. And the human being is much more excellent. Much more excellent. Much more powerful. Much more productive. With a great, great future. So how can the masses have a great future if they don't come out of concern for the human soul and its great properties? If they come just for the out of concern for the flesh and the animal level of expression, they will never be a great people. And their leaders will always be inferior men, no matter how glamorous their leaders appear to be on the camera. Yes, their leaders will always be inferior men because they don't demand nothing but the inferior. Such herds don't ask for anything but the inferior. So that's what they get. So who has made the night? The one who has made the night for you that you may find rest therein, and has made the day for you that you may see thereby. So again, addressing the duality of human life. Human life wants to rest, but human life also wants activity. And rest, too much rest, will make you tired as hell. Because you need the rest of life as well as the rest of sleep. You see? So people many times, they don't understand the tension that is in them. The stress that is in them, the misery that is upon them. How come I have everything? How come I have to be so miserable? You don't have everything. You don't have a balanced life. You're too much on one side and not enough on the other. God says, see how he has given you two eyes, two lips, one tongue, and have shown you the two highways. But have you made any progress on that road that is steep? Struggle, struggle, meeting the test, rising to the challenge. But have you made any progress on that road that is steep? And what is it? To feed the needy in the day of privation. To feed those who are hungry and those who are needy and those who are suffering in the day of privation. In the day when there's scarcity, not only of goods, but scarcity of human kindness. Who will rise up and take to the road and meet the challenge? That's the great life. That's the great life that brings reward complete. It gives you a sense of total relief and total fulfillment. Especially when you do it for the right purpose. When you do it not selfishly, not looking for fame, not looking to be popular, or to be big in the eyes of the society, but you do it only because it's right to do. And that is for God's sake, That's what we mean when we say we do it for God's sake. We do it because it's right to do. not for any reward, except to please what is right, to please that need in our life, to be truthful and just. Not to get off the subject, but I find this to be a great, great problem for us. Do you know this world is suffering the disease of vanity? Perhaps now more than at any other time in the history of man. Vanity. Everybody's living off of praise. Everybody's living to be congratulated. They ain't got no sense. They want to be told they're beautiful. If they ain't got no beauty, they want to be told they're vulgar. Yeah, even the bad things now are badges of merit. They want to be recognized for something. Tell me I'm a bad nigger. Just praise me in any way. I'm not doing this for the sake of humor. But I hope the humor will be wisdom for us. Inshallah. Yes. And God goes on to say, surely God is most fuddling. I don't have the translation here. Fuddling means that he is kind, most kind, that he does what you like, that he satisfies your want and your needs for pleasure. Says, surely God is most kind and merciful, he's favorable, he's favoring all the time. God is favoring all the time the people, all the people. However, most of mankind are not grateful for that. And that's a fact. I witnessed it myself. That's a fact. I found the most miserable person. And I thought that, I said, good. For a while, it was because this person was close to me. For a while, I wondered. I never lost faith, but I wondered, how come this person is suffering like this? I couldn't see where that person deserved all that suffering. But one day, God blessed me. God showed me something in that person. And I understood that the judgment that was on them. It had not shown itself. I had not seen what they had done to earn that kind of punishment. And for years I was wondering, why should this person suffer like this? What have they done? Some of us will say, like I thought back then, oh, that's God's way. Sometimes he punished the innocent as a trial. Believe me, that's wrong. God never punished the innocent. We just don't know the guilt. Now, many times he let people who are good suffer the situation of the bad people. But don't think he's punishing them. If they're really good and they haven't earned any punishment, they can live as Abraham was put in the fire but was not burned. And God said, oh, fire, be cool for Abraham. Huh? They put him in the fire of that sinful, terrible world. But God said, oh, fire, be cool for Abraham. So, no, if people are really suffering, believe me, they're guilty. We just don't know their guilt. As we say in this religion, God, you know. And we know not. And And no matter how much we learn, we always say that. God, you know, and we know not. God says, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So that is God. Now, he's telling us who God is. That is God. The one who made the night for you, that you may find rest therein, and the day for you, that you may see thereby. And that God is surely most kind, and he favors all people. However, most of mankind are not grateful for that. Now, that is God. Why does God say that is God? Because those ignorant people in the days of Prophet Muhammad were very much, though in a worse situation, very much like the ignorant of today. They got different gods in their mind. And they got different concepts of reality in their mind. They think there's a God of the good and a God of the bad. That materialism is under the bad God, and spiritualism is for the good God. That there's a secular life and a spiritual life. And a spiritual life is no good for man. A secular life, possibly, is no good for man. Only the spiritual life is good for man. And if for man to be saved, he must come out of the secular world, or out of the material world, and get completely into the spiritual world, and deny the realities of the material world. That they were made for man. Huh? So there are people with that false concept of the real world that God made. So they have to be shown the real God. The real God has made both the night and the day. There are those who think Satan is the God of darkness. No, Satan ain't no God of darkness. God made darkness. And it's good. The prophet was told, and rise up in the midnight. In the extreme of the night, rise up. So for that time is the best time for framing the idea. Huh? So for such things as deep thought, and contemplated thought, for arriving at a pure concept of forming your idea in the best manner, God says the best time for that kind of mental activity is the wee hours of the night. Huh? And many men believe it, not only Muslims, but from other religions, because we have the expression, burn the midnight oil. Huh? Burn the midnight oil. So somebody believes that other than Muslims. That is God. Your Lord. Why does that say your Lord? That is, should it be just enough to say that is God? No, that is God, your Lord. Because some people believe that the God and the Lord are two different entities, are two different realities. Huh? Maybe the God is one and the Lord is another. Now, the word Lord in the Quranic language, or in the Quranic text, it means the one who has been caring for you. He created you, but he didn't create you and leave you alone. He creates you, and he creates you for a destiny. He creates you for a destiny. And there's a long ways between your first awakening in the world and your arrival at the destiny. And there's great hardships and a lot to suffer and a lot to experience between the point of emergence and the point of destiny. So the Lord is the one who does not only bring you to emerge, but he cares for you and watch over you, and every now and then he has to come back and help you a little bit, because you get in trouble.
chance to show you the way because you get lost. He has to strengthen you because you get weak. He has to supply you because your supplies run out. Well, the Lord and God for us is one. Not one in a concept of oneness, one in every sense. We believe that Allah is Wahid, one, and also Ahad, alone. There's no other with him. He is Wahid, one, and Ahad, alone. There is no other with him. Whereas some believe that God is one, but he shares that oneness with others in some kind of God concept. We don't believe that. It isn't that cheating God? Oh, that's a big way of cheating God. Whether man does it knowingly or ignorantly. That's a big way of cheating God. Whether man is guilty directly, or Satan is guilty directly, and man has been seduced. That is a big way of cheating God. That's why God is not strong in those societies that have those impure concepts of God. God is not strong in that society. How can God be strong in a society that says God created all of this, but his power to help us ran out? And the Lord, the Son of God, had to come and take over from there. How can God be strong in a society that puts down the Father for the Son? And don't tell me this society is not guilty of putting down the Father for the Son. Christmas does not celebrate the Father, it celebrates the Son. They don't tell us that we are redeemed by the Father, we are redeemed by the Son. And the very book adds to this great problem by saying, and God repented. What has God done wrong that he should repent? If he repents, he's not God. Because God is not capable of wrong that he should repent. And to carry that erotic psychology to its final height of erotica shows the Son as God torching himself to heal sinners. One Christian told me, he got up and I was talking. He got up and I was talking. This was in the days when I did not know myself. And I was preaching, and I wouldn't have went to the extremes that I went to if I was the man that I am today. I agree that I was outrageous. And I provoked that poor Christian man. And he stood up while I was talking. And he said, "You're wrong, mister." He said, "You're wrong." He said, "Speaker, you're wrong." He said, God didn't inflict any pain upon himself, not even as his Son, Jesus Christ. So he was not inflicting pain upon himself, because to do this in psychology is a sign of disease, that you would hurt, torture yourself, you see. So that was my point, that the presentation that is in the Bible does say that. So he was telling me, the speaker, he said, you're wrong. He said, Jesus said, if there's any way, take this cup from me. So Jesus was not asking to be afflicted. Jesus wanted to get away from that. So then I asked him, I said, but who was Jesus? He said, the Son of God. I said, Jesus wasn't God? He said, yes, Jesus was God. And that was it. And that was it. That finished it. Out of the mouth of babes.
because no way to get around it. No way to get around it. And the same things happen to a person who suffers personality fragmentation in our life, right? Same thing happens where they see themselves as more than one person. And one person will be doing one thing and performing one role, and the other person in that personality will be performing another role. But where they slipped up with that weak psychology that they invented for that concept, they slipped up and made both the persons or the personalities one and the same. So now you say, oh, but this is his son doing this. Okay, but who is that on the call? That's his son. But who died for us? His son. God didn't die for us? He said, yes. Yes, God died for us. That's a mess up. That's the mess up, you know. As long as they keep them separate, okay. But when they come to the point where they say, yes, they're separate, but yet one and inseparable. Okay, they're separate, but yet one and okay, who is that died on the cross? Who died on the cross? So that was his son. Okay, God didn't die on it? Yes. So, okay, well, who's that asking that he not be made to suffer death by crucifixion? When he said, if there's any way, turn this cup from me. So who was that? That was his son. That wasn't God? See, it's so confusing. It's so confusing. What you have there is a confusion of personality in one person. A confusion of personality in one person. There ain't no way you tell me God is one and you tell me God is one in three persons. God is one in three persons. Okay, God is one in three persons? Okay, we believe God is one in everybody. Not three, in all people. But God behaves in me the same way he behaves in you. And God's behavior in us is no different than his behavior in the highest heaven. He cannot do anything that discredits him, or cheapens him, or is wrong for him, whether in me or you. So they have a belief that God performs on different levels. God performs in himself in one way, in his son, in a different way, in the ordinary people, in still a different way. Huh? Some believe that God even performs in Satan in another way. Oh, yes, well, God ain't Satan, but that's a side of God. Like that picture first came out in the movie. First it was, oh, God. Then it was, oh, God, you devil, you. Was that the name of that second one? Yeah, first it was, oh, God. And the next one was, oh, God, it's devil, you devil, you. That God, yeah, he has the role of God, but he also can play the role of Satan. He can play the role of the trickster, too. That's the ignorance of the world. Yes, that is God, your Lord. Khaliqu kulli shay. The creator of everything. The creator of everything. Why, that has to be said in the Quran. The creator of everything. Because in some religions, they believe that there are two creators. That there's the creator of light and the creator of darkness. Creator of good and the creator of evil. In fact, we were given an idea that was un-Islamic in the temple of Islam. And I was raised in the temple of Islam until I was a man. I was born to my parents who were members of the temple of Islam, and they raised me as a child of the temple of Islam, and I believed that way until I was a grown man. And we were taught that there was a God of evil and a God of good. And that the rule or the reign of the good God is sometimes interrupted by the bad God. as it is in some mythology, some nature based theology that believes that as the great stars are eclipsed by other stars, so he perceives or conceives the external world as being one the body of God. And some bodies represented smaller gods, whereas other bodies represented greater gods. And the heavenly signs were signs telling him of what was happening in the order of the gods. And if the sun was eclipsed, that meant the god of his world was eclipsed by a body in the heaven, or by another god of the heaven. An eclipse also meant death. That his god had to die for a time because of a conflict or crossing a path with another god. So men have brought that kind of belief down into their religion, and some of them have them even today. Yes. Where they believe that there's a God who created the darkness, God who created the light, God who created death, God who created life. The gods are different. So therefore, God has to make it plain to us who is the God. That is from the Lord. That is the God, the creator of everything. La ilaha illahu. There is no God except him. Fanna tu'fakun. Now, what excuse you have to go wrong? That's what God says. Now, what excuse you have for going wrong? None. And that is how we hem in those who are in the habit of lying concerning the revelations of God. Believe me, if you follow the words of this book, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. So now, to sum this up, we believe that this scripture, this Quran, is not an isolated book or revelation, or separated book and revelation, but it is the promise book, the promise revelation. That it was predicted or given in scriptures of old, and that the prophet of this book is also the fulfillment of a promise, the promise of a liberator, who will be a liberator for all people, no matter what their circumstances may be, whether they be materially in a bad situation, or spiritually, or politically, culturally or racially, whatever their situation, we believe that God promised that he would one day send a liberator who would be a liberator for all. And once they get his message, they will have true salvation, true freedom, and will be able to pursue their great destiny and make progress forever for as long as the earth abides. That's what we believe. However, we understand the cycles. The cycles are the exigencies of life, the inevitable things that must come because of the errors of human ways, the failings of human morality. They must come. But we know they won't last forever. Just as the night is longer in the winter than it is in the summer, but in all seasons, the day has to come. Yes. So I thank you for your time and patience here, and we conclude this address.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.